You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Oh, God, Charlie.
With Joshua Briscoe.
God, I could hit you with a plate. I could break a plate over your head right now.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm still waiting for you to hit me with a plate.
I'm gonna. Welcome back into a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday with Warley Warlin, Charlie Carlin. To my left, Beards McFly. Scratching those records. Every time we come back with anything Drake, it really changes the mood of the segment immediately. It's really weird. I want to talk about a couple of Chiefs topics here, maybe throughout the rest of the show. We'll see. We've been all over the place today. If you're listening, I say this very often to the people who just listen through the Roughing the Kicker feed. You're just hearing the Chiefs stuff that we do on this show. We do 2 hours every day, and today's show with me, Beards, and Charlie all here, we've had some interactions. We've had some conversations. We have bounced around. So if you can you can search Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes and any Android podcasting app. I'm pretty sure you can get it through Spotify, actually. Google Play Music, I know you can get it there. So search Almost Entirely Sports and give it a shot. Maybe we'll say something that's interesting beyond the Chiefs topics.
Pretty soon, catch us on YouTube TV.
Oh, God, I would love that. I would love that a lot. I would love for YouTube to slide in and say, hey, guys, listen, we love what you're doing. Here's a lot of money and a ticket to L.A. with a fully furnished apartment that all three of you have to share.
Woo!
Oh, boy.
And that's the moment. That's the moment when it all crumbles. Can you imagine?
Oh, boy.
Would it just be like a reality show at that point? That'd be even cooler.
Would we just live stream 24/7?
I think we would.
We'd have to definitely put cameras all over the apartment.
Yo, yeah, for sure. It's straight up like... I was going to say Kardashian style, but I don't know if that's how the Kardashian thing where I've never seen
Paranormal Activity style.
That's good. That's good. Yes. And, man, that would be such a weird house. Because Beards would always be watching NBA stuff or just like sort of scheming something, but it's always kind of vague. He's just kind of vaguely scheming. And watching NBA stuff, and then he'll eventually have 47 fantasy football or fantasy basketball leagues, and he will.
Which, by the way, yeah, I've heard you're real into fantasy basketball now. What did you do to him?
I'm 1-0.
1-0.
Beards and I are both 1-0 in our fantasy basketball league. I don't know if I ever read the text that I got him. I got from him right after the draft. Let's see. God, Beards, you text me so often. You're so needy. Feel free to defend yourself while I look for whatever you said.
Nah.
Here we go. Nope. Good radio. Here we go.
Oh, okay, there we go.
He texted me right after the draft. He said, how arrogant of me is it to think that I did really super well? And I just said, welcome to fantasy sports. Because that's it. That's the whole thing.
Yep.
It's like in the first matchup, I'm just thinking, oh, I'm going to crush his soul. That's what fantasy sports are, and you did.
You have so much hope and so much optimism after the draft.
Yep.
And then
it's intoxicating.
And then if you're Josh, one of your guys gets punched in the face by a teammate. Another guy's knee breaks.
Yep.
And what else has happened to your team?
Didn't Josh draft like all Suns?
No, I'm trying. I might be trading for Devin Booker right now. I might be trading Melo for Devin Booker. I don't know.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either. I just got that offer today. My team name is Strippers and Bookers, which is really good.
Pretty good.
It's shut up. What's your team name?
JR's Pipe Cleaners.
That one's really good.
It's also pretty good.
It's really good.
I feel like I've seen that one before.
So, yeah, as I was saying at the beginning, if you're just listening to this for the Chiefs content, I get it. We've been doing very good Chiefs, having very good Chiefs conversations so far this segment. So I understand if you're really just drunk on all this great Chiefs breakdown we're doing. But, you know, there's also more to the show.
What is wrong with the defense, Josh?
I actually want to talk about something completely different.
Oh, okay.
I want to talk about something completely different. I have, with the help of Nick Jacobs, a friend of the show, I have done the math. I've figured out exactly what's going on with Dee Ford. We talked about him a little bit last week, maybe even a little bit the day before. Dee Ford's 2018 cap hit is $8.7 million. And according to Over the Cap, he costs nothing to release. I thought that was odd because I thought the fifth-year option the Chiefs picked up this last offseason for next year, I thought that was going to be mostly guaranteed money. It's not. None of it is. Think of it as a franchise tag. The fifth-year option is simply the Chiefs have the ability to keep him for an elevated extension of his rookie contract, an elevated continual sort of pay raise, and that number is $8.7 million. But if they release him, nothing gets held up on the cap. Dee Ford is not going to be on this team next year making $9
million. That is a lot of money to keep Dee Ford.
He's been much better whenever he's been going up against everybody's right tackles, whenever he's been up on the left side of the defense where Justin Houston is. But on from the right side, he has been so quiet through the last, what, 18 months at least? He had the really hot stretch whenever Houston was out, but whenever he had to switch sides back, he became completely, he became a ghost man again. Throughout the offseason, I defended him as maybe a guy who was just battling that hamstring injury where that was, he was never the same after that last year. He hasn't done anything this year either. He's been a bit of a one-trick pony. He's been really, really, really terrible in the run defense. The Chiefs just invested a second-round pick in Tano Passanio, a guy who they're holding on to for a year and not playing him at all, developing him, and maybe he's able to step in next year. Daddy Nicholas should be back on this team sooner rather than later at this point. Tom Bahali coming back, he won't be on the team next year either, though. If you want to peek ahead to 2018 at all, it's going to be it's going to be Justin Houston and then Tano Passanio, Daddy Nicholas, and then probably also a guy that they bring in through the draft. I would assume a pretty high draft pick, but the Chiefs only have a second round draft pick right now, so whenever they trade Alex Smith, that'll be helpful. But I think that for a $9 million cap hit, I don't see any way that Dee Ford is a Chief after the season, unless maybe they go for some sort of restructuring. But even then, I'm not sure that he does anything this defense really wants him to do at this point. He's a speed rusher, and he's not getting to the quarterback with a speed rush efficiently. So I think this is the end for Dee Ford in Kansas City, whatever, 9 games from now.
Yeah, we've all seen how he cannot stop the run.
It's honestly embarrassing.
Hard to watch.
Yes, it is.
Sometimes. And my only concern is that I don't want to say Justin Houston is nearing the end of his career or his greatness, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if we were to release Dee Ford, we'd lose Justin Houston and Dee Ford. Not the same year, but very, very quickly. And we'd have to put a lot on Tonio Passanio's shoulders. And because Justin Houston's, this is his third year of this contract, I believe.
I'm checking. He's got a lot of money. So I think Justin Houston is under contract through 2020. But he'd be very easy. He probably won't be on the team in 2020.
Right.
Justin Houston will be on this team through 2019. That's mm-hmm. what I can say. Because he'd be a $7 million dead money hit, a $14 million savings if they cut him in 2019. I'm guessing that he's on this team through 2019.
It just scares me to potentially lose two of our best pass rushers.
I get that. I understand.
At the same time or back-to-back years.
Because the idea of flipping Dee Ford to the other side is kind of enticing, but he's already not going to be under contract after this next season unless they were to extend him right then. And the amount of money you have to pay him, I think you're not getting that kind of production next year, and you're probably not getting that kind of production through 2019 either. With Dee Ford to justify giving him that kind of deal. You're going to have to draft another replacement. You're going to have to hope that Tano Passanio evolves and develops. You're going to have to hope that Daddy Nicholas becomes a guy that you can actually throw into that rotation. I get it, but that's just replacing guys who age out. I think you've got to bank on getting two or three more really good years out of Justin Houston, and you've got to have something else for Dee Ford because he's simply he's not a value.
Two healthy years from Justin Houston.
Sure. He's not a value. In fact, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I did some more math. Alex Smith, Derek Johnson, Tom Bahali, and Dee Ford, if those four guys are not on the team next year, it frees up $40 million in cap space for a team that's currently in negative cap space for next season. Alex Smith to cut would be a $3.6 million cap hit, but if he was traded, they might not have to deal with that at all. It's a $7.35 million total cap hit for all four of those guys if they were all released. I don't think Alex Smith will be released next year. Also, somebody on Twitter was asking, essentially, why are you doing this now? Which I understand is a fair point, but it's because I have that disease of, like, Madden GM, where even whenever you're 6 games into a season, you're looking at the next season.
The
and that's, what,
Brett,
that's yeah. what Brett Veach is doing right now, too. And it's something that sort of came through. The Dee Ford thing was something I just sort of figured out a couple of days ago and I've been trying to get the details of. So, again, thanks to Nick Jacobs for helping out on that one, and I don't think he's going to be here a year from now.
You mentioned Derek Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You really think that the Chiefs could get rid of him next year?
Yep.
I mean, I know he's coming off the Achilles injury from last year, and he's getting old. What is he, 34.
He frees up $8 million in cap space. It costs a little over two that you would still be paying him after next year. You're going to be able to use those $8 million.
That just seems
else,
like so many key defensive players that you're dumping.
And that's the thing is it's DJ, it's Tomba, it's D4.
It's a big risk.
It sounds like it, but the Chiefs went and got Reggie Ragland for a reason. Reggie Ragland is going to be the guy. In fact, I think Ramique Wilson might be reactivated next year to be in the role that Reggie Ragland is in right now. I think their viewpoint is to say we're gonna, because somebody was saying, you know, how are you gonna do this with all of the with all these draft picks gone already? You got to get D Ford's replacement. You got to get Derek Johnson's replacement. You got to get a defensive back or a wide receiver. You're a little short on picks because of Ragland and Cam Irving and Patrick Mahomes. First of all, the answer is getting draft picks for Alex Smith.
Was that the first time you mentioned Mahomes today?
It is. I went into the bathroom before the show and just screamed his name extremely loudly in the confines of where as few people would hear me as possible.
Actually, he's got a notepad on his other side, and he's just constantly writing
Mahomes. That's what that is. Okay,
it's straight up Zodiac Killer stuff.
Yeah.
It just says Mahomes over and over again. But, right, these are names that you're familiar with. But Tomba Holly's not even playing currently.
No, Tomba.
Derek Johnson is.
Tomba should be almost released now.
Derek, he's going to come back and he's going to take a healthy share of D Ford snaps away, I'm assuming. Derek Johnson does not look the same, and I don't think that 10 more games of this season, hopefully count some playoff games, I guess. I don't think 9, 10, 11 more games are going to make Derek Johnson look any younger. I don't think he's going to look any younger next season. D Ford is a piece that he's a starter every day right now, but he's not an impactful player. In fact, none of those guys have been impactful this year. Derek Johnson seems like a replacement level inside linebacker right now. Tomba Holly is not currently playing. D Ford is a replacement level outside linebacker right now. So those are all names that we're familiar with, guys who are big cap numbers, guys who, you know, DJ and Tomba Holly are both going to be Ring of Honor guys in all likelihood. But right now, their value is, their monetary value is far higher than their value on the field is. And that's where you go and you develop your own young talent. That's why you trade for Reggie Ragland. That's why you end up investing later round picks in guys where you try to replace those guys with better investments. And then you take that money, you take that $40 million you free up, and you use that to go bring in, if you want a really elite number two defensive back, then you can go and you can bring in that guy, whoever that might be. Next year, Martavis Bryant will be a free agent. You can go sign Martavis Bryant if you want to bring him in as the number two receiver on this team. You can do that whenever you free up the kind of cap space that you can free up by letting these guys go. There's too much you can do with 17 from Alex Smith, 8 from Derek Johnson, 7 from Tomba Holly, 9 from D Ford. With those millions of dollars of cap space, there's too much that you can do with that elsewhere to justify keeping any of those guys at those numbers. Alex Smith is a little bit of a different story, obviously, because he's performing very well this season, and he's going to be someone that has to be bought away. If the Chiefs don't get anything interesting in offers from Alex Smith, they're going to keep him. But at this pace, I would imagine.
I can't imagine them getting very many good offers for him, but...
See, if Alex Smith was on the Jags right now, they would win the AFC South.
Yeah.
They would win the AFC South, and they're going to probably finish third.
But do you think he can keep this up?
Well, that's... No.
I guess the Jaguars probably...
Knowing them, they might
be able to think that.
Right, what if Ben Roethlisberger retires after the season? The Steelers are much better off with Alex Smith than they are with Landry Jones.
He would fit pretty well in Pittsburgh, too.
Do I think he can keep this up? No, but if he has weapons around him, I think he can look pretty good. If he has a decent head coach and offensive coordinator, I think he can look pretty good. I don't think he's ever...
a contract year thing?
What?
With Smith, is this just like a contract year thing?
No, I think
he's got one more year.
I think it's... playing a contract year because of the Mahomes thing, and Mahomes thing behind him, that's a theory that's been often surmised. I still think more than anything else with Alex Smith, it's that he has... right now, the most accomplished running back in the league this year. He has one of the most explosive wide receivers, and he has one of the three best tight ends. Somebody was giving Zach Ertz a lot of praise a couple days ago. One of the two best tight ends in football. And also an offensive line that, until the last 2 weeks, had been stupendous. So I think it's having all of those things around him. I think that's allowing him to be his best self. I don't want to come out and poop on Alex Smith and say, oh, no, he's been terrible. He is terrible, and he's being carried by his weapons around him. That's not true. He's not being carried by those guys, but he's certainly being supplemented by all of them.
Okay, so going back to the defense then, do you think that they're in – basically you're saying they're investing too much in names that we know and love, and then we kind of need to move on?
If they don't move on from these guys, yes. I don't think these are necessarily – well, the Tom Bahaldi contract was a mistake. I don't think you can say that Derek Johnson was a mistake. You can't say that Dee Ford was a mistake. The Tom Bahaldi one was the one you were saying the day after it happened. What the hell's going on here?
Why is it?
But so no, I don't think they've necessarily made terrible moves there. I think these are the moves that they have to make to avoid making more bad moves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you let a guy walk and then you bring in another guy in his spot and then you bring up the love for him if he plays well. That's sort of how the league works. It's ruthless. It's kind of cold to say, all right, Derek Johnson, listen, you've been great here for a long time, but you're a little slower now, and we want to use that $8 million elsewhere. Is it cold? Yeah, but that's how the NFL moves.
Yeah. So very Patriots-y.
Right. Right.
Well,
how often do you see the Patriots signing a deal with one of their long-term veterans because they want to give Tom Bahaldi two more years of time, you know, with this franchise? The Patriots do that very, very infrequently. Whenever they do, it usually comes back as actually something they should not have done.
Or his name's Tom Brady.
But Tom Brady is making less money than Alex Smith is this year.
Right.
Tom Brady is a great value, and he's going to be great until he's 75 years old, damn it. Whoever the Chiefs draft to replace Patrick Mahomes 15 years from now is going to be the guy that has a chance to dethrone Tom Brady. Because at that point, Tom Brady will be geriatric.
Can't wait.
Cannot wait. It'll be some high schooler who's going to go straight to the league. Something else, a couple of defensive notes that sort of all fall under this same umbrella. The Chiefs' average versus wide receivers was pointed out by Brandon Kylie on Twitter. The number one receiver up against the Chiefs are 31st in the league at stopping other teams' number one receivers. They're fourth at stopping the number two, 22nd at stopping other receivers, 19th at tight ends, second at stopping opposing running backs. I'm guessing all through the air. This is because guys go opposite Marcus Peters. And on Thursday night, Amari Cooper spent a ton of time in the slot opposite Phillip Gaines. Because the Chiefs stay with Peters as the left corner and Terrence Mitchell as the right corner and then Phillip Gaines as the slot guy, because they just stay there, it gives the offense a chance to say, poof, fine, we'll put Amari Cooper on Phillip Gaines, or we'll put Amari Cooper on Terrence Mitchell and then test Terrence Mitchell online, or we'll put Michael Crabtree somewhere else. We're never putting those guys up against Marcus Peters because we know Marcus Peters is going to shut him down. So with number two receivers usually end up lined up on Marcus Peters, leaving number two receivers as something the Chiefs are very good at stopping. It's interesting. I've been wondering recently if it's a Marcus Peters thing or a Bob Sutton thing that Peters just stays on one side. He played that snap against the Texans on the right side mm-hmm. of the defense. It was the first time he's done that as a professional. I've been wondering lately if it's about Bob Sutton's philosophy or if it's about Marcus Peters' ability. Either way, I actually think that both outside corners are doing just fine. If Steven Nelson comes back on Monday night, it would be a huge boost to this Chiefs defense. Because right now, I think the biggest areas of concern are probably Eric Murray and Phillip Gaines. And if Steven Nelson, a very good slot corner, can come in and replace Phillip Gaines, it makes it much, much harder to pick on anybody else. Even a double team of Murray and Gaines does not terrify any opposing quarterback worth his salt. But with Peters, Nelson, and Mitchell, I think you've got three very good corners there who can do a lot of damage, especially to, you know, Trevor Siemian. So
I was just about to say, I think the Chiefs' defense is going to have a huge bounce back against just an abysmal Broncos offense.
I thought they were going to have a huge bounce back against the Raiders offensively. I guess they sort of did, but it wasn't overwhelming. But, you know, I digress. I've been wrong about the last couple of weeks of Chiefs football, and I'm a little bit worried about being wrong again. Not that worried against Denver, though. The NFL is so weird, man. Mm-hmm. There's so much randomness. Like, Thursday night on the road, of course, stuff is going to go poorly. You're going to have some undisciplined defensive plays, and the Raiders took advantage of all of it. We had this conversation a couple of times in the preseason that now it's actually out in front of us. We're going to see Jamaal Charles return to Arrowhead.
Oh.
And somebody wrote a column. I didn't even click it. I don't know what they were saying. It doesn't matter to me. They were saying, you know, do you cheer Jamaal Charles or do you boo Jamaal Charles? And cheer. I kind of can't believe we're having this conversation again. Yeah, you don't have to cheer for him whenever he busts a 60-yard touchdown run
right.
and runs over Eric Murray. You can be upset at that moment. But if he gets introduced at the beginning or he whenever the first time he takes the field or whatever, to shower him in a chorus of boos for going to play for a team that wanted to give him money to play football after the Chiefs openly said, we are going to fire you from your job, is so completely bonkers to me. I don't get it.
He deserves all the praise in the world from Chiefs fans, even though he's a Bronco. Like, it kills me. It kills a lot of Chiefs fans that he's wearing orange and blue, but he had so many good years here, yeah. And you can't blame him for wanting to continue his career for one more year or two more years or whatever. Yes, yes, you cannot blame him for that. It crushed me when he went to Denver, but
he always wanted to play in Denver,
and that's the thing that people are going to always keep bringing back up. Yeah. Man, listen, I've said this 1,000 times. You can use it in specifics if you want. Let's do this. We're gonna do a radio metaphor. But in building, here we go. Let's put me over on 810. Okay, I'm doing a show over on 810. Everything's going good. And then, oh man, this last year of shows on 810 just hasn't been that great for me. I've been struggling a little bit. And then all of a sudden, 810 says, "Hey, listen, we don't want you to do shows here anymore." And then ESPN Kansas City comes in, scoops me up, and says, "Oh, hey, please come here, come do a show. We'll pay you to do a show over here." I would sit down, and the first thing I would say into this microphone is, God, I've always wanted to do a show for ESPN Kansas City.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the first thing you say.
If he was gonna be a Charger, he would say, I've always wanted to play for the Chargers.
And he said something about, I was always loved John Elway. Man, I've always loved Philip Rivers.
Chargers were a bad example because who wants to be a Charger?
But he would still
say that. Yes.
That would actually be the second thing Josh would say. The first would be,
follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
That's better than what I was gonna come up with.
What were you going to say?
Mahomes!
Will you sing the whole song, please, Beards?
Yeah, good. You were Mahomes definitely were doing Mahomes in the Range there. You definitely
you were,
the first
you were.
Word of Mahomes in the Range.
The first note. I heard that first note.
Whenever he does start for the first time, if that's an injury this year or if it's next year or if it's whatever, 15 years from now.
Do you have a Mahomes jersey yet?
No, I don't really wear jerseys. Oh. I thought about buying a Marcus Peters jersey, but I haven't even done that yet. Whenever he does start for the first time, we all have to come in here and do a live rendition of Mahomes in the Range.
Okay.
For sure. I'll write the lyrics. The fact that I came up with the deep plays thing was, I was blown away. You don't have to play it, though, Beards. You don't have to. Beards is digging through.
That's okay. I wasn't going to.
Okay, great. We'll keep not
looked like you were digging for it. You had this little smirk on your face.
You're definitely digging for something in the computer right now, and that concerns me. Hey, listen, don't boo Jamal Charles. We might talk about this more
Please
tomorrow.
Please don't.
But it's so dumb. The first thing you say is, I've always wanted to play here. Who's the boss of the company? John Elway, essentially. All right. Man, I always loved John Elway. I always wanted to be with this company. I've always wanted to work here, even whenever I was working over at the place that fired me. Man, that's just how it works, dude. It's bizarre to me. I don't get it. People always fight me on it, and I just don't understand. Also, let's do... We'll knock this out now, and then we'll come back into a couple of national football stories. But the Chiefs are giving up the most explosive plays in football. Explosive plays is described as a run over 11 yards or a pass over 15 yards. The Chiefs are giving up the most in football, I think. With 78. The Chiefs have given up 78 deep plays. Explosive plays so far this year. The Broncos
averaging just over 10 a game.
Yeah. The Broncos have given up 30. They're the best in the league.
Oh, boy.
So I think the Chiefs will still have a couple of explosive plays come on the night. This isn't really about the Chiefs and the Broncos head-to-head matchup. This is about the problem with the Chiefs' defense. I think it changes in a huge way if Eric Berry is still here. I think it changes in a huge way if Steven Nelson is your slot corner and it's not Philip Gaines. But that's something to continually keep an eye on. The Chiefs are the worst in the league by a pretty hefty margin at giving up plays over 11 yards on the ground or over 15 yards in the air. And the Broncos, who they do play on Monday night, are the best in the league at not giving that up. That concerns me a good bit. I'm a little worried. So I'll keep an eye on Monday night and also throughout the rest of the season. I bit my tongue just now. That was not pleasant. I'm going to fight through it, though, because I'm a warrior. Beards continues to be preoccupied by something
very, very
on his
distracting.
Computer. And it really, it's concerning because it's definitely, he's at least getting the Mahomes in the Range liner for the next segment. That's at least my next guess.
Like, usually I'm the one that's this distracted.
I don't know if I can find it.
Or whenever we talk, whenever we come back, we're talking about Martavis Bryant being slowly run out of Pittsburgh, but also not allowed to leave Pittsburgh, and also maybe Bruce Arians is getting fired or retiring. No one's really sure. That's next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Here's the thing that I like about how this Wednesday thing sets up, and you can see Charlie's beautiful face. Don't adjust your monitors; it's naturally slightly red. On the Facebook live stream.
I hate you.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
God, that was such a good joke.
That's just mean.
Such a good joke. Got a good Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah.
Man. Flew by, honestly. I always get a little worried. Are we going to get a confident Charlie or a nervous Charlie? And I'd say we've gotten like a 70% confident Charlie.
He's been pretty
today.
Good today.
Yeah.
70? I feel like I each deserve more than that.
75?
All right, I'll take it.
I would say you've been confident 3 out of 4 times.
Today. Okay, fair.
That's fine. I can live with that. Mm-hmm. All right, so Charlie started reading me a headline during the break, and I told him to stop it and then just read it whenever he came back. Really quickly, one thing that I promised, when I get to Martavis Bryant tomorrow... Bruce Arians is not retiring, according to Bruce Arians.
His tweet was awesome.
He said something about his news to me, blah, 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 not retiring, whatever. It's also going to be a really weird time for the Cardinals to fire Bruce Arians because now this team is working without their stud running back or the actual quarterback. All right, that being said, Charlie, what was this headline you started reading to me?
Okay, so, yeah, during the break, I got this headline, New York Times. Skinny dipping in an Estonian forest, soaking in black sand near a Japanese volcano. Here's how families around the world spend vacations. What?
It's
hey, it's a little concerning, especially the word families in there.
Yeah, it
like you're skinny.
If you just had like young kids or whatever, and also the culturally it's different wherever you are, it makes more sense. But definitely the my knee jerk reaction to hearing the end of the headline was definitely
Yeah.
What? That. No!
Family skinny dipping and risking their lives together?
What? Yeah, I definitely don't... I don't like that.
Yeah. Get it together, New York Times.
Okay, another headline that we've been talking about for a little bit here. I can't believe it took us this long to get to this.
Yeah, I know.
This is from TimeMagazine.com. Just Time.com, though. The Amazon key would let delivery people open your front door. Amazon has announced a new service that would allow delivery people to unlock your front door and leave packages inside your home. Amazon Key requires a Prime account, a smart lock, and Amazon's Cloud Cam. When a delivery person arrives with your shipment, he or she scans the item, which unlocks the front door. They then knock to alert anyone who's home, open the door, and leave the package inside, ideally without actually entering the home. All this is captured by the security camera, and a video of the entire event is sent to the customer to review. A full kit and installation costs $249.99.
No.
My thoughts. There are exactly two ways that this can go. Exactly two ways. Both of them are very extreme. But this is the only option. With this technology, either Amazon becomes... Santa or the Grinch. They break in and either leave you presents under the tree or they break in and take it all.
This seems like one of those ideas that somebody just kind of came up with just as a joke.
Yes.
And somebody just went, that actually sounds like an okay idea, but it's like the dumb person.
Like, wait. No. I was joking.
Yes.
No, this is a terrible idea.
Yes. No, you're right. That's exactly what happens.
With how easily things are hacked nowadays, and how you can't just trust people. Or at least I can't. I don't know. But,
that's
but
a good point.
I just no. The absolutely idea of, not. No.
They have to sign the pack. They have to scan the package.
Cool.
But if
that can be faked.
Yeah. Is it a barcode thing?
It is a barcode thing. But still,
you nabbed that barcode. You print off one of those little barcode boys. All of a sudden, beep beep, and I'm walking into your house.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm not worried about the Amazon people. I'm worried about the other people that then go, oh, hey, duplicate entire process.
Right.
Oh, look, I've just accessed every house in America.
I'm worried about the, oh, suddenly Amazon hires 200 employees that were former convicts.
See, I'm a little bit worried about the Amazon thing, because, like, I'm not worried about the Amazon employees. I'm worried for them on some level. You come knocking at my door, you open the door, and all of a sudden you see me laying in my underwear on the couch trying to eat my Frosted Mini Wheats and watch Rick and Morty in the morning. On a nice Saturday morning, watching those Saturday morning cartoons. Out there trying to watch Maya and Miguel on PBS while I eat my Cocoa Puffs, and you walk in. No, sir! No, thank you! You can leave my package on the doorstep! Sit it there, ring the doorbell, and get the hell out of here! Charlie Carlin, thank you for joining us on Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday. Beard McFly, thank you for, as always, your wonderful production work. I'm Joshua Briscoe. It's Almost Entirely Sports. Bye, Mom.
Bye, Josh.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.